preaching over the last, I'm a big Bulldog fan. I'll just go ahead and throw that out there. And I feel like that if you're not, there's a good chance you're not even saved. Got somebody over here giving a gator chomp. And anyhow, you already see the judgment of God on them over the last few years. The fact they give them a idiot for a coach. And anyhow, is everybody all right? And FSU, what can you say about them? Nothing. And I'm a big Bulldog fan, and anyhow, I keep up with all the recruiting. I keep up with everything that goes on. And one of the slogans that they have is commit to the G. And man, I just took that thing and applied it to the church. And we, over the last four Sundays, or last three Sundays, the day of being fourth, we've done the commit to the C. And anyhow, do we have that up there? Can you put that up there on the screens for us? All right, there it is. And anyhow, it's got our church logo, of course, and that's cool. But we've done this thought of committing to the C. And the first one we took was commit to Christ. And we looked at that from a standpoint that all of us, and no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, as we've already mentioned this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we all must commit to Christ or we'll die and go to hell. Then we went from that and we did commit to Christ. And what was the second one? Commit to, no, it wasn't the cause. Cross, thank you. We did the commit to the cross. And remember, I took Brother Scott and put him on that cross over and over again. And we talked about how we had to crucify the flesh, as Paul spoke of, and how that was a daily thing. It was a commitment. You just didn't do it one time. But how many of you know we sin more than once a day? Somebody say amen. And I sinned all day yesterday. I went and shot the shotguns in a tournament and did bad. So I was upset the whole time yesterday doing that. And Jesse beat me, and that was always a bad thing. And so I have to repent of all that kind of stuff. Then I spent some time with my boys, and we went out and played golf, and I had a terrible round of golf. And so I need somebody to help me right here. And there's a reason that golf is the four-letter word, G-O-L-F, because all the cuss words was taken up. Is everybody all right? So I was very upset yesterday. I was struggling yesterday. And so over and over, I kept having to take my flesh to that cross. Every time I swung golf club, I had to take my flesh back to that cross, all right? So we talked about committing to the cross because all of us, none of us, let me say it this way, none of us is perfect. And it's a daily thing, a daily battle that you and I have, taking our flesh back to the cross, all right? And then last week we talked about committing to the cause, and you remember we talked about Mary and Martha, and we got on that subject, and we talked about how Mary was cumbersome. She was cumbered about with many things, and she was doing a lot, but she left out the one thing that was needful. And God said that Mary had chosen that part. And that was sitting at the feet of Jesus and true worship. And so anyhow, we see how committing to the cause, I was going to preach on witnessing and doing all these other things, but the fact of the matter is that you and I have to commit to a time of worship. And if we'll get in the right place and the right position with Christ, then all the other stuff will come through that, all right? But today we're going to talk about committing to the church. And this is something that the Lord laid on my heart from the very beginning. And we just said, well, we're going to do it on the last Sunday. That was our double tithe Sunday. We're going to talk about this thought of committing to the church. But we're going to look at it in John chapter number 12, which is different. I know this is not the church, and this is not the epistles, the church age epistles. This is an event that happened in the life of Christ and in the life of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And we're going to look at this, and then we're going to talk from this. We're going to talk about the church, because I believe that we can see in the first 11 verses of John chapter number 12, every church, all right? And we'll take a look at that. And so if you will, get over to John chapter number 12. If you're there, I want you to get up and run a lap. Okay, just say amen. That'd be all right. All right, all right. So anyhow, see how hard it is to get you people to worship? All right, starting in verse number 1, we'll begin our reading and we'll read down through verse number 11. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. and Martha served. That's how I know Jesus was a Baptist. Every time Jesus come around, they had food. I need somebody to say amen. Is everybody all right? Martha was in there frying up some chicken. Mashed taters. Is everybody all right? Macaroni and cheese for the teenagers. Cat head biscuits. Is everybody all right? With honey. I ought to get an amen out of that crowd right there. All right, thank you. All right, and cane syrup. My wife ain't having no biscuit, ain't having no part of a biscuit without cane syrup, all right? But every time they get together, there's a meal. And so verse number two, the Bible says, there made him a supper, and Martha served. Now this ain't, we know this, what Martha does, all right? The Bible goes on, it says, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And I'm going to stop right here and say this. If Christ had raised me from the dead, I think I'd be a little bit more excited than just standing or sitting at the table. Y'all are dead this morning. I want you to think about that. If he raised you from the dead, I think I'd be a little more involved in what was going on than just sitting around the table, all right? I'm just saying that. I mean, he was dead for 4 days, and Jesus called him out. And he come out of there. The Bible says he come out wrapped in grave clothes, which means he didn't walk out. He kind of just floated out. And then they loosed him. I'm thinking they wouldn't have stopped me from running that yet. Is everybody all right? That's just me, though. All right. Verse number three. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I'm thinking it didn't scare him the second time. I need somebody to say amen. That ain't near as much of a threat as it may have been the first time, all right? Verse number 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. As we look at the church, I have wrestled with this thing. And what can you say about the church? Most people have an idea about the church that is negative nowadays. Most people look at the church, and if we ask and take up an offering, well, all the church wants is tithe money. All the church wants is money. And there's somebody in here that may be saying the same thing. All the church wants is money. But yet this church has affected, and the church, period, has affected the lives of so many people. But the church is viewed as negative because all they want is money. Church is viewed as negative because they preach standards. And when those standards don't line up with our lifestyle, then what we do is we tend to look down on the church. You can get so awkward in this thing that, I mean, there's people that get upset and the Ten Commandments are a bunch of rules. They're good ones. Don't kill anybody. That's a good rule. Is everybody all right? Don't steal from anybody. That's a really good rule. Is everybody okay? And we could go on and on. But that's the negative impact that a church has seen. And I'll say this. It's not because we've done ourselves any favors. A lot of the churches have mean-spirited people in them that do not have a heart of God or a heart for people the way that God did. And so they lash out at those that are unbelievers and then cause them to never want to come to church again. Now, Christ always dealt with a sinner. He dealt with compassion and he dealt with mercy. You bring John chapter number 8 into the picture and we see a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And she was brought before Jesus and cast at his feet. And they asked him, they said, what does the law say? Well, the law said that she was to be executed. She was to be killed. But what they leave out is the law also said that the man was supposed to be killed too. And the fact of the matter was they only brought one party of it. I need somebody to say amen right here. There was also in that law, it said that there had to be two or three witnesses. And now since the man didn't show up, that means that somebody decided that he could go free. Somebody decided, is everybody all right? So when Jesus dealt with this, he said, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. And my goodness, ain't that a good principle for all of us to have? I'm going to need more than that. Ain't that a good principle for all of us to have? If I'm wrong about it, then and you don't have any sin, then you can go ahead and condemn somebody else. But if I'm right about it, and I know I am, then every single one of us has something in us that we need to deal with. And if we get our eyes on it, we wouldn't have time to worry about what everybody else is doing. So, but the church gets a negative idea about that because, or negative publicity, if you will, about that because of the people in it. How many of y'all, come on now, I need somebody to help me. How about this? The church gets negative publicity, if you will, because of the hypocrites that are in the church. Well, I ain't going to that church over there because it ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I'm going to go ahead and say this. You can't get out of your bedroom without looking at a hypocrite. Is everybody all right? You ain't going in your bathroom without looking at a hypocrite. Now, your definition of hypocrite changes depending on who you're looking at. But the fact of the matter is that we all play the part. I need somebody to help me right here. We all play the part. You say, not me, preacher. I don't play the part. And I'm going to come up to your house without you cleaning it up. I need somebody to help me. Ashtrays go flying out the window. Cigarettes be put up. Shot glasses thrown in the trash. I need somebody to help me right here. Liquor cabinet locked up. Everybody all right? Don't be playing with me. All your movies you got up under your TV, oh my goodness. I need somebody to help me. See, we don't want nobody going through our life. We don't want the preacher to show up. Amen. Hey, preacher, we're going to plan for you to come over, but we got a plan for you to come over. Because we got to do spring cleaning at the house before you. I need somebody to help me. I tell folks all the time, they see the preacher and all of a sudden everything that they do changes. I use this example all the time because it's funny. I seen one of our church members and I caught him off guard. Me and Michelle went out to eat and for lunch one day we come pulling into the parking lot and there they were smoking a cigarette. And when I pulled in the parking lot, y'all, you'd have thought they seen a ghost. Is everybody all right? Cigarette come out of their mouth, went behind their back. How many of y'all has ever done this with your mama? Don't lie. I fanned many a cigarette while my mama was standing there. Oh, I'm good, mama, I'm good. I'm fine. Yes. What are you doing behind your back? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing, mama. You can go now. Somebody help me. Am I the only one that hid stuff from my parents? Yeah, somebody talking about I ain't never done that. Man, we hide stuff all the time. We hide stuff from our parents. We've done that our whole life. This woman, she fanning that cigarette. Me and Michelle rode by. I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, look at her. She gets out. Hey, when I go by, look in the rearview mirror, and she cusses because she'd been caught. Put that cigarette out. I started to go over there, and I will. Hey, I'll pile right up on you. We had one of our church members buy a case of beer, and they were coming by. Is everybody all right? Justin Ply was with me. I said, Justin, watch this. Here they come walking by with a case of beer. I just piled right up over there on them, talked to them. How you doing? Leaned up on the, what is it called? The grocery cart. Leaned up on the grocery cart right there next to the Budweiser. How you doing? I Oh, they got better than that. Hey, they checked out in a hurry. They went through that other line over there. Me and Justin were going through the line. I said, this ain't going to get better. We walked outside, and lo and behold, she was parked next to me, or I parked next to them. I said, watch this. I walked over there. Justin's with me. I said, hey, can I help you load your car? You need any help? I don't mind. I mean, I'll help you out if you need some help. You need me to load your car? Is everybody all right? Hey, they still come to church here, so don't get all mad and think I run them off because I didn't. The fact of the matter is, you can go anywhere and you can find people that are hypocrites, and most of us can't even get out of our house before we find them. But there's some individuals that I've seen here that I want to talk about. I got 5 points, and I got a bunch of sub-points. And I only got a few minutes, so y'all gonna have to listen fast, all right? First off, I want you to notice the initiator of the church was there. The Bible says in verse number 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Is everybody with me? Came to Bethany. Jesus was present. Let me tell you something about a church. That church ain't a church ain't worth its salt if Jesus won't show up. And can I say this? There's a lot of churches out there today that God ain't never been in that church whatsoever. There's a lot of churches that go through the routine and they know what songs to sing and they know how to get up and do this and how to get up and do that, but they ain't never experienced church and they ain't never had Christ involved in it. We see the initiator of the church. He was present. We see his precepts. We see him talking. We see him giving. And I'm not going to go through that because I got to preach fast. But as you look through this, one of the disciples had a problem with what was being done to Jesus and the worship that was going on there. And I'll get to that person here in a little bit as well, too. But God gave instructions and all that. So we see his presence, we see his precepts, we see his passion, and we see his power all right here in this story. You can see his passion and how he loved people. You can see his power and how that it continually tells us that Lazarus was raised from the dead. So we see the initiator of the church. We notice verses like Acts 20, verse number 28, that says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 25, one of those verses, one of those passages of scripture that the husbands really like for the preacher to preach, but the ladies really don't. But in the very first verse it says this, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'd like to say this for all the relationships out there. If you don't love her like Christ loved the church, then don't expect her to do what the rest of Ephesians chapter number 5 says. I'm going to need more help than that, ladies. Hey, if he can't love you like Christ loved the church, if he's not willing to die for you as Christ died for the church, then he shouldn't expect anything out of you beyond verse number 25 of Ephesians chapter number 5. Amen. You know, I counsel couples all the time, and you know what the woman wants? She wants somebody to lead the home. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, fellas, we failed. Everybody all right? Don't get quiet on me right here. We know who I'm talking to. All right, the initiator of the church. Number 2, we see the imperfections of the church. The imperfections of the church. Say, preacher, I like the church. Good. You like this one because Jesus shows up. The initiator of the church, the one that died for the church, the one that gave his blood for the church, shows up around here. But I want you to know something. There's a lot of imperfections in the church. There's a lot of imperfection. As long as there's people in the church, there's going to be imperfections in the church. You can see the imperfections, all the people that were there. You look at Lazarus, and Lazarus, he was raised from the dead, and he was sitting at a table. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that he was dead for 4 days. Christ raised him from the dead, and him just, I'm going to just sit down. No, is everybody all right? I'm running, doing backflips. I'm doing something. Martha, all we hear about Martha is she's serving. She's cumbered about. The Bible says that word I told you means distracted. And boy, don't you find a lot of people that are distracted in the church. We'll get to those in just a few minutes, but I want to focus this morning on the disciples. The fact of the matter is, Judas was there, and so was all the disciples. And if you go through all these disciples, they were messed up. Matthew was a tax collector, which means he was a thief. I need somebody to say amen. Anybody works in the IRS is a thief. They steal from me all the time. Amen. Matthew, here he is. He's a tax collector. He was messed up. Simon, he was a zealot. I mean, he'd go out there, and he was one of them activists. he'd be out there screaming and hollering and wanting to kill somebody. Is everybody all right? Peter, man, he tried to cut somebody's head off and ended up cutting their ear off. And he went fishing naked with men. I have a problem with that. I'm going to go ahead and tell all y'all. One of y'all stripped down to nothing in the boat with me, and I'm the only one getting back to the hill. I need somebody to say amen. You'll be swimming it. John, his brother, sons of thunder, they wanted to call down fire on people. Ain't that in the church? I need somebody to help me. Ain't that in the church? Peter cussed. I know I can find somebody in the church that do like Peter. Huh? You might not be naked out there fishing with other men, but I know you cussed. I mean, God shows us the imperfections of the 12 that he chose. Philip was like, who is he? Is he even Christ? Is he the Messiah? Thomas was like, I doubt. Thomas doubted everything. Is that not in the church? Y'all, help me this morning. There are imperfections in the church. And if there were imperfections in the 12 that he called, then you best believe there's going to be imperfections in 350 people that are sitting in a building. If Christ, the Bible says he prayed for them, and they were still a mess, and he prayed for them, and he chose them, and if he did that, and of the 12, they were all messed up, then what do you think is going to happen when you get a big group of people together? There's imperfections in the church. We're not all perfect. I'm going to say some things that might offend you. Is everybody all right? Well, I just don't think that a preacher ought to offend anybody. Take it to Jesus. In John chapter number 6, he preached one message and lost all of his disciples except for 12. He wrote them all off. I need somebody to help me. Got rid of the whole crew. I mean, church numbers were going great. And then Jesus just had to preach. He just had to go there. He just had to preach on them partaking of his body and drinking of his blood and all that. And they've gone, no, man, that's too hard. I'm not following after him. Is everybody all right? Best preacher ever. Perfect. Without sin. He preaches one message and offends all of them. And you think I'm going to stand up here? I'll go ahead and tell you. You scratch off that not perfect thing, or that perfect thing, because I ain't. We scratch that off right now. We can even scratch off of the greatest preacher thing, because he'll never be topped. So you're dealing with a preacher that ain't the best one. You're dealing with a preacher that ain't perfect. So there's going to be some things that offend you. Y'all, I hope we're getting this. I hope we're getting this, and I hope we understand that there are imperfections in the church. It's not perfect. The fact of the matter is we're just a bunch of messed up, broken people that God loved enough to die for. We realize that. We accepted that. And we're just doing our best to become better than what we were yesterday. I'm not where I want to be, but I ain't where I used to be. If you'll stick around long enough, I'll get better. But if you don't, then is everybody all right? I believe I'll get better with time. I need somebody to help me right here because God's working on me every day. But I may not be what you want me to be right now, but if you'll give it some time. And the fact of the matter is that every one of us is like that. You look at every one of these chairs in here and you can see imperfect people. People that are just trying to do right, they may get it wrong, but they're trying to do right. They may not always be perfect. Well, let me go ahead. Stop right there. They're never going to be perfect, but they keep trying. They keep working. They keep going. That's why you should commit to the church. Why? Because you just like us. You couldn't handle one of them churches that expected perfection out of you. You couldn't handle one of them churches that demanded perfection out of you. We see the initiator of the church. We see the imperfections of the imperfections of the church. I want you to know they were all broken, but I want you to notice this. They were all chosen. You hear me? I can't believe him, but God loved him so much he died for him. Well, I can't believe they did that, preacher. Yeah, but they're a child of God. Does that exclude them from making mistakes? Somebody help me now. It doesn't. You need to understand something. Everybody we go to church with, they're going to be people that offend you. There's going to be people that rub you the wrong way. There's going to be people that don't see eye to eye with you, whether it be on politics, whether it be on something else. But every single person, God loves. Amen. We see in here, we see the initiator of the church was present. We see there was imperfections of the church. But I want you to know something else. There's imposters in the church. There's imposters in the church. Now there's some of us, a lot of us ain't perfect. And there's a lot of us that'll hurt your feelings. But there's some in here today out to hurt everything. Bible says in verse number 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. There's some Judases in here. Is everybody all right? I want you to notice this, their deceit. Judas walked 3.5 years with Christ acting like everybody else. Judas walked 3.5 years with Christ and the disciples were not even aware that he wasn't one of them. He fooled them all. At the table in John chapter number 13, as they sat at the table, Jesus said, one of y'all is going to betray me. And they all started looking around and said, who is it? They were so messed up. Listen, they were so messed up, they started saying this. Is it I? And Judas was sitting at the table. 3.5 years, they'd walked together, preached together. They had stayed at the same places, slept in the same rooms. They were all together for 3.5 years, and none of them realized that Judas wasn't even saved. There's imposters in the church. There's imperfections all over the church, but there's imposters in the church. Their deceit, they're able to deceive. Their displeasure, they hate anything that's spiritual. Judas, the Bible says that he looked, he said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Isn't it just something most imposters, their problem is with money and how it's spent. Is everybody all right? I've noticed this about the church, and God help me, I don't want to make you mad, but I'm going to do it. The people that give the most problems about money in the church are the people that give the least amount. I need somebody to say amen. Oh, it happens in our house too. My children, they want to go out to eat every time you turn around. Can we go do this? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this? Can we do this? Can we? No! Everybody amen? Well, why can't we go eat? Everybody else goes and eat. Because you don't make no money. And you cost me. Somebody say amen. I got a 17-year-old to eat you out of house and home. Huh? If I'm lying, I'm dying. My wife hides food from him. I went in there last night. I said, where's the raisins, whatever they're called? I said, I want something sweet tonight. Where's it at? It's on the blah, blah, blah drawer. I'm not saying anything because he'll go in there and steal them all. I know I seen them. I know I watched you pull them out of your car. I know they're here. Where are they at? Well, I got them hidden over there, not in the pantry. I got them hidden over there in a drawer that he'll never go in. Yeah, it's with the broom and the mop. Is everybody all right? But this stuff works in the church too. Because the people in the church that give the most problem, the most mouth about how money is spent are the ones that ain't giving anything. And let me say this, there's a lot that ain't given. We do numbers around here. We keep up with stuff like that, and that 62% of our church isn't giving. What do we say? That 62% of our church ain't even giving $1,000 a year. But yet they want to. Don't get quiet. Don't get quiet. It's something that we're supposed to do. And it's amazing to me that 38% of the church is giving 96% of the money. But when we have a vote on something, 100% of those that are sitting out in there is... It'd be the same... Is everybody all right? It'd be the same as being in my house or me coming into your house and saying, now, this ain't how we're going to spend this money this week. But preacher, you don't give any money to my house. Exactly. Everybody all right? I'm not going to talk about it much more than that. I just want you to know something. There are imposters in the church, which means this: not everybody that you run into in the church is saved. So before you lump them in with the rest of the church, understand that. There's a Judas in there. Now, for everybody who wants to throw Judas out, in John chapter number 13, Jesus watched the feet of the disciples, knowing that one would betray him. And guess whose feet was propped up there while Jesus was washing? I need somebody going to have to help me this morning. Jesus washed Judas' feet, even though he was an imposter. Even though he knew that he would betray him, Jesus washed his feet. So for the rest that say, I'm imperfect, you better be careful how you treat imposters too. I'm having fun right now. They're not, I can tell it, but I am. Their deceit, their displeasure, their decisions. They make decisions based off of money. Their defection. Old Judas cut out and left them. An imposter will leave eventually. But let me say this, their damages, they cause damages when they go. Judas ran over there and got him 30 pieces of silver and betrayed our Lord to the cross. Now, there was damages, but I thank the Lord for the cross. Amen? We see the initiator of the church was there, the imperfections that were in the church, the imposters of the church. But I want you to notice the investors of the church. There were three that was mentioned. I want to take a look at them real quickly. Martha, the Bible says that she was serving. There's workers in the church. There's people that are busy. They're busy serving. And you know, people that are playing instruments, people that are singing in the choir, people, Brother Scott, our assistant pastor, people that are working out at the Welcome Center, people that are working over at the Children's Church, people that are working in our Sunday school class. There's workers all over the church. But then there were some, like Mary, there's worshipers. Oh, I need somebody to help me. There's some that sit around and they ain't going to get down with it. They ain't going to have no fun. They ain't going to worship. But then you got that Mary. You got that Mary who God just, I'm talking about, saved her out of her mess. And I'm talking about she loves him so much, she come and found where he was at and anointed his feet. Broke everything. Hey, every bit she had to give to him, she gave in worship. And it went far beyond just worshiping, just praising, just shouting, this, that, and the other. The Bible says that she brought that spikenard, anointed the feet, that ointment of spike, a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very, the Bible says, very costly. Her worship was a sacrifice. We see a worker, we see Martha, we see a worshiper in Mary, but we see a witness in Lazarus. Lazarus was sitting at the table, but later in Scripture, in verse number 9, it says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also. Man, we got some good workers in the church. We got some good worshipers in the church. But a church ought to be filled with a witness. I'm going to brag on Brother Ronnie just for a moment. He called me in. He says, preacher, he said, is that all right what I put on Facebook? I said, man, bring them in. Hey, God, I mean, look at, if you come with Ronnie Colbert, if you kin to him, I want you to raise your hand right over here. Family, all y'all. All of you. You come with him. If you visited with him, raise your hands up. It's all right. Look at this. A dead man. Is everybody all right? A dead man, like Lazarus, that God came and saved him. Yeah, stop looking at the physical. No, he wasn't raised from the dead, all right? We're talking about spiritual. Bible says in Ephesians, we're spiritually, we're dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says that he quickened us. That means made us alive. And there's people that want to see what God has done in your life. We're broken. We're a mess. All of us. But I thank God we're no longer dead. Right. Lastly, the inspiration of the church. Verses 9 through 10, we already read verse number 9, says that many of them came to see. But in verse number 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away, and listen, and believed on Jesus. The inspiration of the church should inspire the lost to seek after Christ. Not turn them away. Not judge them before they get to the church house. The way I live my life ought to inspire others to want to know about Christ. If he can do that for him, y'all help me now. If he can do that for him, then what can he do for me? I'm not perfect. I'm not that preacher that grew up running around the meetings and listening to a daddy preach. I'm that one that grew up and ran away from home. I'm that one that grew up and got out of the house. I'm the one that grew up and got married at 18 years old. I'm the one that grew up and thought that it was supposed to be party time at my house every stinking weekend. I'm the one that grew up in all the sins that I'd watched my daddy. I'm the one that grew up smoking. I'm the one that grew up dipping. I'm the one that grew up drinking. I'm the one that grew up in poker. I'm that person. And God saved me. God came where I was at, and God saved me. God loved me for who I was. I didn't get cleaned up before I come to church. I came to church with all that mess with me. I had all of it in my truck. I came to church, and it was all over me. It was all in me. And he knew me. And he knew all about me. And he loved me. And he saved me. The church ought to inspire the lost to seek after Christ. You ought to have such a witness in your life that people say, I don't know what happened to him, but I want it for me. I don't know what changed in his life, but I want that change in my life. The church should inspire the saved to reach the lost. Those of us that have been raised from the dead, and I ain't talking physically, I'm talking spiritually, those of us that have gotten saved, we ought to have a burden to see others. We ought to have such a burden to see others get saved that we'd do anything we could to get them here. If we truly understood that by them not being saved, they were in danger of hell, then what will we do to get them here? I need somebody to help me. I'd be dragging our families down, dragging our friends down, dragging our co-workers down, dragging our children down. I need somebody to help me right here. Church should inspire the saved to reach the lost. Lastly, the church should inspire us all to a better relationship with Christ. Church should inspire the lost to seek Christ. The church should inspire the saints to reach the lost. But the church should inspire us all to have a better relationship with Christ. How are you going to have that at your house? Well, I read my Bible. Let's talk about that a little bit. How many of y'all sit down every day and read your Bible? Don't raise your hand. Like I said, we got too many hypocrites in here. How many of us spend all this time in prayer that we act like we do on Facebook? We were teaching the other night, and I told the church, I said, do you realize that 15 minutes a day is only 1% of your day? And how many of us spend 15 minutes every day in prayer? How many of us spend 15 minutes reading our Bible? Come on, y'all, let's just be honest. We all have some work to do on that, preacher included. But you know what? I come to church, and I look at you, and I want to be better. I come to church, and I see you and your desire, and you wanting to know more about God, and it pushes me. It inspires me. Why do you think we have the colleges here? Why do you think we have everything that we have here? We don't get any extra money for doing a college. I get a love offering, and I appreciate it. That's a blessing, but it ain't paying the bills. We do that for you. We do that so that you can build a relationship with the Lord. Sunday school teachers work hard, diligently, all week long to prepare a message or prepare a Sunday school class so that they can help you in your relationship with Christ. Why? Because you inspire them. And I pray that we inspire you. We go through this church, and I ain't got time. I know we're out of time. Y'all bear with me. But we go through this church and pick out person after person in this church that God touched. Brother Gary Wilfong was giving a testimony the other night in college, and he said, preacher, I came when we were in the little building. He said, you talk about all them people that were sitting around. He said, we come in and it was so packed there was nowhere to sit but right next to you. He said, you put somebody next to you while you're preaching, they're going to get saved. I'd stand up here and preach, and there'd be people sitting right here. And his first trip, first time visitor, where do they put him? Ain't no hiding. Ain't no going to the bathroom when you're sitting on the platform. Had his full attention. Yeah. Messed up. Broken. That piano player that sits over there was broken. Man, my wife loved on her. She was broken. Now you won't find a Sunday. She on a piano playing. Because God done something. I need somebody to help me this morning. Jesse Cowart. Broken. Messed up. All kind of things. I ain't going to give testimony of his. He can do that to you some other time. Come in, they put him on the first or the second row. It was on the second row right in front of me. Said, Lord, hell, can't get nobody that close to the preacher and then not get saved. God's done the work in so many lives. And I'm asking you, visitors, all of you, we commit to the church. God's done the work, but he's used the church to reach so many people. There's imperfections in this church. There's imposters in this church. But I praise God, the initiator of the church is here. Where I can't fix you, he can. I thank God that there's people that invest in the church. They work. They worship. They witness, they're invested in it, and they inspire others. Heads bowed and eyes closed. She's coming to that piano. If you're getting baptized, you go ahead and make your way back there. Jesse, if you'll help us out. Miss Melissa. Let me encourage you to come, pray, pray to the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed. There's nobody looking around. I want to ask you a serious question this morning. This morning, do you know where you'd spend eternity? The Bible says there's two options. There's two options. Thank you. one's heaven and one's hell. I want you to know that Jesus preached more on hell than any of the disciples. So it's real. The question I ask you this morning is this. If you were to die right where you're sitting at, do you know where you'd spend eternity? How many say, preacher, I know I'd go to heaven. I want you to raise your hand up high. I know I'd go to heaven if I was to die. Hey, man, you can put your hands down. As I looked across, there was a pile. I'm talking about a good bit of people that didn't raise their hand. Somebody asked you the same question. I'm going to word it differently. You say, preacher, I'm not sure where I would go if I was to die. I'm not sure, preacher. I'm not 100% sure. I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to just lift your hand right up. That's all I'm asking you to do. I won't embarrass you, call you out, point you out, or send anybody to you. I'm just asking you to be honest with me. Preacher, I'm not sure. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? I see it. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else? You're not alone. They was three that said it. You're not alone. I didn't embarrass them, and I'm not going to embarrass you. Preacher, I'm not sure. I want you to just raise your hand right up. That's all I'm asking you to do. Anybody else before we go on? Anybody else? For those of you that raise your hand, I want you to know that the Lord loves you. I want you to know that I was in the same place you were. As I read my Bible, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was me. That was every person that sits in here. All have sinned. Every one of us. You're not different. You're not worse. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us where that sin come from. It come from Adam. Wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world. That was Adam. But we learn from that verse that death was a cause, or death was a result of that sin, and it was passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. The Bible tells us there's a payment for the sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But the verse don't end there, thank the Lord. It said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm thankful I'm a whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That takes denominations out of it. That takes religion out of it. That takes the Baptist out of it. That takes the Methodist out of it. That takes the Catholic out of it. That takes it all out. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we're taught that we must confess the Lord Jesus. We do that through prayer. Believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Once again, that's through prayer and a faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, but a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning I want you to know, if you say, preacher, I'm not sure, you can know for sure before you leave out of here. Why don't you pray this with me? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know. Why don't you pray this with me? Lord, I'm a sinner. Go ahead, tell him. He already knows. Lord, I'm a sinner. That's confession. Lord, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I need a Savior because I cannot save myself. Come short of the glory of God. I've come short. Lord, right now I believe that your Son died on the cross for me. And Lord, right now I receive him into my life. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to do me a favor. I'm still not going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking around, but I want you to look right up at me. Look right up at me. I ain't going to embarrass you, I promise you. Ain't looking right up at me. It's okay. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. I got a book that says, Now That I'm Saved. Okay? I want to put this in your hand if you'll let me do that. If you'll let me do that, I want to put this in your hand. This book right here will help you get started in your Christian walk. It's got verses in it. I mean, you can read it. It's easy to read. It ain't nothing hard whatsoever. But it'll help you get started in your walk with the Lord. And if you'll let me do that, I want you to do me a favor. Get up out of your seat and come right here where I'm at. Meet me right down front. Who else? Come on, Brother Scott. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for those that have come forward that have gotten saved this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, I pray right now, God, that this church be a blessing to them. Lord, to help them further their relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We got some